Well, Lord, we ask you now to bless our time in the Word together. And Lord, thank you for this conference. Lord, I just pray that every person here would have a fresh encounter with your presence, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Good to see everyone. To stand up here, so I feel like I'm kind of exalted over you guys. But, well, really, because I won't be able to see those I'm putting to sleep. So, anyway, I hope you're having a good time at this. Really good stuff, isn't it? Life-changing stuff. I'm sure Bishop talked about what happened May the 8th here when it's kind of the Lord just kind of showed up and it's kind of this breakthrough thing, and what you called is the breakthrough to a place called Encounter, right? And everything we get, you know, I was thinking about that this morning in the Christian life, you know, we definitely live in a day of a lot of information, right? But it's revelation that we need. Because when the information becomes revelation to me, and that's how things come to us and with the Lord. It just comes to us by way of revelation, right? When Paul prayed for the Ephesians, he said, I pray that God would give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of God. So when he reveals, he opens the eyes of our hearts, and it becomes real to us, then it's life-changing, right? Just to talk about, just kind of keeping on theme here, about our self-image, our identity, really kind of hits home with me in a particular area, because as you know, if you've been through our Lazarus weekend, how many of you have been through our Lazarus weekends, the Lazarus ministry weekends, just about a bunch of y'all. So TC and I, my wife TC and I, we do that, I think we've been doing it 22 years, doing that type of ministry on a daily basis, and I did it about 10 years part-time, and so that's what we do every day, right? And also, Father Aaron and Lily, they also do inner healing out of their home. Really awesome. But one of my favorite books on the topic of inner healing, Healing the Christian Soul by, I think this lady, she's with the Lord now, Leanne Payne. And in Healing the Christian Soul, she says, you know, she broke it down into three major barriers that we have in our journey to wholeness. And the first major barrier is self-acceptance, the failure to see yourself as God sees you, or self-acceptance when it kind of expands in us to become self-rejection and self-hatred, right? Because when that happens, that is a big hurdle to get over in order to receive, right, and become whole and become who we are in every area in Christ, right? To start that, for that thing to start blossoming. Another two are the failure to forgive others, big deal, right? And to receive forgiveness. And, you know, it's really true. When what we've seen over the last years, everything kind of made in simple form comes down to those, a couple of those things. So a few years ago, y'all that know me, back in the, I think starting in 2004, I woke up one day with this massive headache, and it stayed with me for almost 7 years. Never went away. Many of y'all know that. And so it was here at Eucharist in 2010, one day, where I was healed of those things, right? Never, didn't battle with them again. A few years ago, started having this neck problem, and then headaches came from a different form. We're kind of on that journey right now. We kind of think we know what it is. But during that time, starting in 2004, that era, they were just trying everything to help me with pain, and they started giving me steroids. So I think I was on steroids for maybe 4 years, 3 or 4 years. And I gained a little bit of weight, I think over 100 pounds. I kind of blew up like a balloon. And so I really didn't realize I was doing this, but I avoided mirrors, right? I didn't like looking at myself in the mirror. I would definitely without having a shirt on or something like that. And the only time I spent in front of a mirror was either to, brush my hair or whatever. And I really didn't realize I was doing that. Even when I, in our bedroom, when you go to the bathroom, there's a mirror right there. And I would put towels in front of it or whatever, so I just wouldn't have to look at myself, right? And it's like the Lord just kind of showed up one day and was like standing there with me and said, "What are you doing?" And I'm like, putting this here so I don't have to look at myself, And he said, "Stop it," right? "Stop doing that because you're rejecting yourself." And I was like, it's like a light went on, right? So he gave me the scripture out of Song of Solomon 4:7 that says this, that you're altogether beautiful and there's no blemish in you. So what I started doing is quoting that verse, right? I started just saying that, kind of as a mind renewal thing, right? But getting a little deeper than that, to that truth is that that's how he sees us, right? That we're altogether beautiful. And there's no blemish in us. But we, along, with the enemy of our soul, in Revelation it said, I know you've read that, many of you, that Satan stands before God night and day accusing us, right? So that's where he spends his time. He is the accuser of the brethren, so he stands before God accusing him. I always wondered why God allows him to do that, right? Instead of saying, "Be gone with you." Because I think that's part of his punishment, that God just ignores him, right? Because as he sees us that way, as being in Christ. And not just that, just being in Christ is just his love for us. Because even in that, we got to be careful that we don't lose who we are. Because when we start saying, "Oh, well, the only good thing about me is Christ." Well, that's true in a sense, right? But because God so loved me, and what we're talking about there is he placed me there. And he sees me in Christ, right? This person. These awesome verses, Psalm 139, and that's, we use that as far as our, pro-life about God forming us in the womb. But there's something that he says here, Psalm 139, that just blows me away. And it's about what God thinks about us, right? Because ultimately that's where it's healed is our self-worth, our self-value, and what we think about ourselves. As Bishop was saying last night, I think C.S. Lewis, he said, the most important thing about us is what we think God thinks about us, what we think about God and what he thinks about us, right? So if you just thought for a moment and got down, where nobody's going to hear you, what do you think he thinks about you? And most of us would say, "Oh, God loves me," right? I mean, really? Do you think he likes you? Does he like your personality? And does he like the way you look? And the answer to all that is yes, right? I'll read you some scripture. But this place in Psalm 139, he's talking about this, that God formed me. He knew the number of my days before there was one. He formed my inner parts. He knows everything about me, what I'm going to say before I say it, what I'm going to think before I think it. Then it says these wonderful things here. In verse 17 of Psalm 139, I'll read in another translation here. New American Standard said, "How precious are your thoughts to me, and how vast is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would outnumber the sand. When I'm awake, I'm still with you." So another translation says this. Every single moment, you're thinking of me. How precious and wonderful to consider that you cherish me constantly in your every thought. Oh God, your desires toward me are more than the grains of sand on every shore. Every single moment, God is thinking about you, right? His every thought, he cherishes. And his desires toward you, or his thoughts toward you, outnumber the grains of sand. That's incredible, right? Every moment. So, if that's true, then what do I need to do, right? If he really thinks about me like that, and his every thought is toward me, right? And he's always thinking about me. I want to hear what they are, don't you? Because we're all created. You're created. God created you for that purpose. One of the, it may be Leanne Payne or one other, David Siemens or one of those guys that says, calls God the Father, the Master Affirmer. That he's always affirming us. Right, because many of us grew up in broken homes, or you grew up with parents who maybe didn't affirm you or tell you how much they loved you, and even with that, right? Because we inherited Adam's sin in this fallen world, and we're at war, we can hear all these thoughts toward us. But most people didn't grow up like that. Didn't grow up in a home where they were affirmed. Someone was loving them, telling them how awesome and how wonderful they are, right? So it creates this huge, this crevice within us, why we long for love. As Song of Solomon, where the bride or us calls herself lovesick. You know, I'm lovesick, right? I'm sick. I need to be loved on, right? And God, and this is also in Psalm 42, if you want to go back and look in Psalm 40 also, it says pretty much the same thing. Let me read that real quick. Pretty cool. This is in Psalm 40. And you think of us all the time, countless expressions of love, far exceeding our expectation. It's not sacrifices that you want. Burn offerings and sin offerings, this isn't what brings you joy. But when you open my ears and you speak to me, I become your willing servant, your prisoner of love for life. Here's what David said about all the same thing, that his thoughts or affections toward me. And he says, Lord, open my ears so I can hear them. That's his prayer. Because it's not the sacrifices that you want in my love for you. What my burnt offerings or things I do to think that this pleases you. What pleases God is me, you, our affection to Him, our love to Him. Right? He says in the Song of Solomon that our love is better than wine, meaning our love to Him is better than anything he created in the universe, because it's all created for us. And that's what, for us, that's where our prayer should be. Lord, open my ears to hear that. I've been talking a good bit about, when I'm speaking at noonday, sorry I'm saying a lot, because thing I'm dealing with now, this pain, headaches and stuff, my thoughts just go out, right? So my word, whatever thing that connects your thoughts and words and your ability to speak them is kind of broken. So I'm saying a lot, because I'm going to just trust the Lord just to bring thoughts back to me. But I've been talking a lot about becoming one thing people, like Mary of Bethany. She's seated at the feet of Jesus, right? And Jesus said this one thing, right? She's chosen this one thing. Because Martha says we're distracted. And he said, Martha, you're bothered. You're distracted by so many different things. But Mary has chosen this one thing that will never be taken away from her. She's seated at my feet listening to my words. One of the ways that the Lord began to heal that in me was, when I was just quoting the scripture, quoting truth, is to begin to journal, right? And this could be very helpful if you journal. If you don't journal, it's good to maybe start journaling, because in that journey is where we seated at his feet is where you are transformed and where your mind is transformed, right? So I started writing this in my journal, and I wrote this. I would write, however, this person that I read said you could write it as your deceased thought or your fallen thought, but write out how you feel about yourself, right? Honestly, this is how I feel about myself, right? Or this is how what I think other people think about me, or whatever, right? A diseased thought. This is how I feel. This is what I think of myself. And if you don't like your personality, you don't like the way you look, or you wish you were like that, right? Write it out. And then ask the Lord for a healing word, or for his word. Now, Lord, this is what I'm thinking. What do you think? What is your word to me? How do you feel about me? And wait on his answer. And you're going to be blown away what he's going to say. Because if his every thought is about you, and they outnumber the grains of sand, that's a bunch, right? It's never going to stop. He's never going to run out of it. And he loves telling that to you, because in the Song of Solomon, you know, I have a few verses there marked out, but I'm just going to kind of cut it down a bit for lack of time. Let me get over here too, where I have marked. Says this. This is 7:10. I am my beloved's, and his desire is for me. I'm his, I'm my beloved's. His desire is me, right? This hymn saying, come, my beloved, let us go to the country. Let us spend the night. Let us rise early and go to the vineyard or the garden and see what's budded there. And this is the Lord speaking. And there I will give you my love. Right? So it's a picture of our footstool time, our quiet time, whatever. I was brought up to call it a quiet time, right? How many of you said quiet time or whatever? Yeah, we call it that. And it can be quiet, but it shouldn't always be quiet, because God is speaking. What happened to me for years is I didn't do much listening. I did a lot of talking and praying, but I did very little listening. And when I learned how to listen, I was transformed, right? Because he's saying here to the believer, hey, get up, come on, just go to this garden where we hang out, where things are budding, because at this place, I want to give you my love. I want to pour my love out on you, okay? I want to talk to you. One of the things that I see with people myself, you know, when if you think about a child, because, you know, we all know Scripture says, unless we're converted and become like children, we will not enter into the kingdom. We won't experience the kingdom unless we become childlike, right? Yeah, we know that. It's a child to believe anything, and there's just so much to that. But what do you think for a child is their greatest desire? Is this. I'm going to tell you what it is. They love to be praised, right? They love for us to say, oh man, that's awesome, when they're running up showing us things that they made, or hey, watch this, watch me do this, you know? And you're watching them do that, and you know, you're just praising them over that. It's awesome, right? But when we get older, we think that that's nonsense, you know, but it's not. What that really is false humility, because the way God created us is to receive praise, to receive his glory, right? He beautified us with his glory, so he created us that way. That should never die in us. Hey, God, watch this, you know, because he, well done, you good and faithful, you know? Everybody loves to hear that. right? Women usually have an easier time when we talk about stuff like this because, you know, their desire, their need to be cherished by their husband or by someone, you know, they love to hear. But guys, you've been created like that too. And there's not a person in here that doesn't like to hear good things about themselves, right? Not a person in here would say, look, don't say anything good about me. I don't like to hear it. No. You do, because that's how you're created. If you grew up in an environment where you know, people were saying bad things about you or even teasing, you know, we grew up with a lot of that in my family, teasing from adults and stuff like that made us all neurotic. But the Lord created men. Guys, you're created that way. You're lovesick. You're created to respond to love. You're created to respond to His voice, right? But He creates an environment that I read you earlier where you become a prisoner of love, right? Our time with the Lord should be, I can't wait to get back there, right? We carry Him. We tabernacle the presence of God. We know that. We talk to God all the time, you know. But when that time where it's just me and Him and the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, and I'm kind of brought into this union that He invited me to, where the Father's loving the Son's loving the Holy Spirit, and there's this, you know, thing swirling around you, the love of God, because they've loved each other from all eternity. You've been invited into that, right? Jesus said that. The same, what I'm going to give them, the same love that You love me, Father, I'm going to love them. And the Father, the same love that You love me, Jesus said, You're going to love them. I'm going to give it to them, right? That's where we discover our true identity, the new creation, right? That's where it becomes alive. Paul, when he's telling the Colossians in chapter 3, since you have been raised up with Christ and you've been seated with Him in the heavenly places, right? It says, set your affection, set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. And when He is revealed, you'll be revealed, right? Because you're hidden in Christ. He doesn't hide things from us. He hides things for us so that we can discover them. But as I seek Him and as I'm sitting, listening to Him, then who I really am comes forth, the new creation, right? So God's got some awesome things to say about each of you, right? Clean out our ears, O Lord, as David prayed, that we can hear it, right? That we receive from Him. One more verse, if you go back and read, because it's in Song of Solomon chapter 7, where he talks about He loves us with all of our charms, you know, our tresses, our obedience to Him, but He loves our personality. And in chapter 2, it says, you know, when He says, arise, my beloved, and come along with me. And He says this, let me see your form, and let me hear your voice, for your form is lovely and your voice is sweet. Simply, guys, He loves the way He loves looking at you, and He loves your voice. He loves you speaking to Him, right? Loves it. So if I don't love what He loves, then I need to repent, right? As the bishop said, if you didn't hear that last night, repent means simply to think with. Start thinking with Him. Amen?